evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, March 25th, 2021. South Sudan receives the first batch of COVID-19 vaccine from COVAX.
Our goal is that everyone in the world can have access to the required vaccine. That is what we mean when we say the vaccine against COVID-19 must be a common goal.
And a group of South Sudanese combating land grabbing in and around Juba town appeals to President Salva Kiir to do something.
They're all organized forces people. You know, these people, they have made their own chiefs of their own area, and then they will bring a table, they will prepare the tokens, and then they will sell the tokens to the people.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan has received 132,000 doses of the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine. This is the first batch of several vaccine shipments scheduled to arrive in the country over the coming months through the support of COVAX facility. South Sudan's Minister for Health says the first shipment will target healthcare workers, including doctors, nurses, and vulnerable groups. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Speaking to journalists at Juba International Airport today, South Sudan and National Health Minister Elizabeth Achawil says this was the first of the several vaccine shipments scheduled to arrive over the coming months through the support of COVAX facility. The COVAX facility is a global partnership made up of a coalition for epidemic preparedness innovation, which includes Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, UNICEF, and the World Health Organization. COVAX was established to ensure that all countries can equitably access COVID-19 vaccine. COVAX-supported vaccine will be given to healthcare workers as well as the elderly, given their increased risk of contracting other severe diseases. Today's COVAX shipment of vaccine includes 132,000 doses, 132,500 syringes, and 1,325 safety boxes for the safe disposal of syringes. Achawil says today's vaccine shipment marks a great milestone.
We are grateful to all partners for their support, in facilitating the arrival of vaccine in our country.
Hamida Laseko, the UNICEF representative for South Sudan, says a COVID-19 vaccination campaign kicks off across the country next week.
The vaccination campaign, and it's very important that the government has decided to start with the health workers.
Laseko says it is important for everyone to eventually get vaccinated. Manuel Muller, the German ambassador to South Sudan, represented the donor community at Juba International Airport to receive the vaccine doses, says South Sudan is one of 140 countries that will benefit from the COVAX initiative by the end of May. He says the vaccine distribution is not based on political favors, but on need.
Our goal is that everyone in the world can have access to the required vaccine. That is what we mean when we say the vaccine against COVID-19 must be a common goal. People in the developing countries too have the right to a vaccine that has been tested safely, thoroughly, and transparently. Therefore, for COVAX, the approval of the WHO is a condition for use of the vaccine.
Muller says COVAX has already secured more than 3 billion doses of vaccine that can cover at least one-third of the global population in 2021. A person who gets the AstraZeneca vaccine requires two doses to ensure optimal immune response against the virus, according to health experts. The vaccination process in South Sudan will be provided on a voluntary basis and free of charge. WHO representative for South Sudan, Dr. Fabian Indezeko, says people should still wear face masks and practice other preventative measures.
I would like to emphasize that if the vaccine starts to roll out alongside the world, they should complement, not to replace, the proven public measures such as wearing masks, physical distancing, ventilation, and hand hygiene, alongside robust programs to test, raise, isolate, and treat.
South Sudan today joins the list of more than 15 African countries which have received COVID-19 vaccine. Through the COVAX facility, 732,000 doses of vaccine are expected to be delivered to South Sudan by the end of June. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Still on COVID, Zimbabwe's musicians have been struggling to make a living since the corona pandemic prompted the government of Zimbabwe to ban concerts and other entertainment to prevent the spread of the virus. Some musicians have left their music behind and turned to farming, as Columbus Mavunga reports from Harare.
Award-winning Zimbabwean singer Diana Samukange Nyazema frequently performed in her home country and across Africa, but not for the past year because of the coronavirus pandemic. No longer on stage or in the spotlight, she can be found instead at her farm in Mazoe district, about an hour's drive west of Harare. The coronavirus lockdowns stopped large gatherings and events like concerts, forcing Samukange Nyazema to look at other ways to make a living.
During the lockdown, I've learned one thing that I didn't know over the years. You never go wrong with agriculture. People will always eat. People will always want, you know, farm produce. That business for me is quite stable and it will bring income. And I now know that my money comes from the soil to also do other things, to boost my music business toward. So I found that there's more stability in agriculture at the moment, more than ukoko music side. But I'm not saying when given the tool kutindi choose, I'm definitely going to be biased because I'm a musician. That defines who I am. I'm Diana who sings. So music is going to be my first love. But I need to survive.
The 32-year-old Afro-pop singer co-owns the farm with her husband, Calvin Nyazema. They are putting in irrigation pipes and also have set up beehives to collect eucalyptus honey from their 300,000 tree plantation. Zimbabwe's government recognizes the plight of musicians who have been unable to work because of the coronavirus lockdowns. Executive Director of Zimbabwe's National Arts Council, Nicholas Moyo, says he does not know when the ban on live performances will be lifted.
But we can say currently we are working on more of a stimulus package because we realize relief may never take us anywhere. But the government, through the Department of Social Welfare, continuously assists Zimbabweans that are in it.
But critics say lockdown relief payments of about $12 a month per family is not even enough to buy bread. Independent Harare-based economist John Robertson says authorities need to increase the financial support for those vulnerable.
So it really is up to you as an individual if you find yourself in difficulty. There's nobody going to come and help you, and there's certainly no officials. So you've got to be resourceful for your own sake. And you can bring in the rest of the family and say, let's work together and add to the income of the family with small things that each person can do. And the resourcefulness of the people of Zimbabwe has been absolutely amazing. And I think that that is going to continue to amaze us, even if COVID-19 lasts for a long time.
Singer Samukange Nyazema appears to be following that advice and plans to invest more in livestock if she gets funding. In the meantime, she has something else to sing about, a bountiful corn harvest expected on her farm in the coming weeks. Columbus Mavungam for VOA News, Mazoe, Zimbabwe.
A member of a group fighting land grabbing in Central Equatoria State is appealing to President Salva Kiir to issue decrees to evict people who have grabbed community land in Rajapayam of Juba County. Rose Paulino says big parts of farmlands in areas of Bilinyang, Kabo and other areas have been grabbed. She says majority of the land grabbers are men in uniform who often move with guns to threaten whoever questions them. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Rose Palina, one of a small group of people trying to stop land grabs in Rajaf County's 16 Bomas, says large parcels of farmland in villages of Bilinyang, Kabo and Jebel Abyanin have been grabbed. She says the majority of the land grabbers are men in uniform who often carry guns and threaten whoever questions them.
They're all organized forces people. You know, these people, they have made their own chiefs of their own area, and then they will bring a table, they will prepare the tokens, and then they will sell the tokens to the people, and they will bring the all the other machineries from the military to distribute to the market, the area and all this, and then it is going. All this place were being demolished, and then they restarted again on a bad situation. You know, whereby even the women are affected, those who are cultivating there, who are going to collect some firewood and all this, you will see a lot of cases of rape, a lot of cases of theft, and even killing is happening.
Paulina says one traditional chief recently went to talk to the suspected land grabbers who beat him up. She says the way the land grabbers humiliated the chief shows that they don't care about respecting authority. Paulina says the community is outraged over the repeated land grabs and the assault on the traditional chief.
The people of the area, they try to talk to these people, but I think the talking is not, because even if they can beat the chief, what, who will go? So it needs you to have, you have the weapon, and you have, and this is also is adding a lot of pain to the people. And when the people will accumulate a lot of other things, the situation can be just exploded. Because people will see that this is our land and people are not helping, and we have tried the government and the government is not helping.
Paulina says land grabbers demarcate the land and illegally sell big plots of measuring 100 by 200 meters or even 1 kilometer, which the community finds frightening because it affects food security and the livelihood of the people. Paulina says President Kiir needs to take action.
Previously, this place was being demolished. All this building now that you are seeing them was being demolished by the order of the president. But these people now, they have started again new. So it means that the president has to make an order.
South Sudan Army spokesperson Santo Domich says he has not heard of any recent land grab complaint submitted to the SSPDF judiciary, but says any soldier found guilty of carrying out the illegal activity is supposed to be charged under SSPDF jurisdiction.
We have the SSPDF law that really charges anybody who committed any crime, not necessarily to be only against the citizens of this country, but any crime that committed against anybody else, like grabbing. The first thing, that land has to be given back to the lawful owner. And then number two, the soldier has to be charged depending on the level of the case. And they depending on the magnitude of grabbing, you know. And then, of course, he or she will be taken to the jail.
Paulina says the group wrote letters to complain to Central Equatoria State Governor Emmanuel Adil Anthony's office a few months ago. She says at that time, the governor said the state was not yet fully formed for it to immediately address the issue. She says the group has been waiting for the state officials to intervene now that all the ministers have been sworn in. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, the mining workers kidnapped on Juba Yei Road are released. Find out how after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how can you promote tourism within your country amongst your fellow citizens?
By sponsoring or organizing trips for schools and others, because there are some people who don't have money to go to such places.
Telling people about how our culture and history is, through that I can promote.
By having friendly activities available, like affordable costs of travel, food and accommodation.
Maybe by posting on the social media about the tourism activities happening in the country, as well as the places that people can visit. Places I know, such as some in Mangochi, maybe in Mulanje, by putting that on the social media.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. 9 employees of a demining company who were kidnapped on Tuesday along the Jubayei Road have been released after a ransom of millions of Sudanese pounds was paid. The chairman of the South Sudan Mine Action Authority says the perpetrators are unknown, but adds that he believes they are criminals who wanted some financial gain. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
Jurkuch Brech Jurkuch, head of South Sudan Mine Action Authority, says 10 miners who were clearing landmines on Tuesday along the Jubayei Road were kidnapped by unidentified gunmen at a place known as Mile 14.
One from the 10 managed to escape, and this is when we got the information. That person came and reported the issue to the G4S and to us and the engineering corps.
G4S, formerly known as Group for Securico, is a British multinational security services company which the United Nations contracted to clear mines in South Sudan. The kidnapped employees were working for G4S. Jurkuch says the kidnappers freed the 9 captives yesterday after a ransom of 1.3 million South Sudanese pounds was paid.
They started talking using the telephones of the captives, using them for communicating to the G4S. Then the ransom was asked, and part of what they have asked was paid.
Jurkuch says he condemned the incident.
We cannot allow this to continue. Otherwise, demining will not take place. Landmines will remain in the country, and surely landmines will maim people, will kill people.
South Sudan in Focus contacted the employees for comment. One of the employees, who identified himself only as Maketh, says he and his colleagues are restricted from speaking to the media. While it remains unclear who is responsible for the kidnapping of the aid workers, Suba Samuel, the National Salvation Front spokesperson, neither denied nor confirmed his group was involved in kidnapping the deminers.
I don't know, I've not heard about it. Yeah, we're put on headquarters, I've not heard about anything.
More than a week ago, unknown people kidnapped scores of travelers along the Juba Kajokeji Road and demanded a ransom before releasing them. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayar in Juba.
One person was killed and 3 others injured during a grenade attack in Lake State Capital Rumbek this week. A police spokesperson says the incident happened after a brief argument between a member of the South Sudan People's Defense Force and a civilian. For VOA News, William Sande Mabor reports from Rumbek.
Lake State Police spokesperson Captain Elijah Mabor Makwaj tells South Sudan in Focus that the man who was killed was demanding money from a soldier identified as Private Marwal Kao. Makwaj says when the two met at the bus park, the deceased told Kao to immediately pay him a loan he took 5 years ago. He says a small argument ensued, and the two started wrestling before the soldier grabbed a grenade out of his pocket and detonated it.
The tragic incident occurred in Rumbek town, specifically at the Ulu Park, when a hand grenade exploded and killed one person on the spot and wounded another 3. One in a critical situation and 2 are stable. And according to the information we received from reliable source, we were told that the motive was the deceased was claiming some money from the owner of a hand grenade.
Makwai says following his stomach surgery at Rumbek State Hospital, Kao was handed over to police.
After he was operated, after one day he was taken to police custody, such that the legal procedures are taken. So he is currently in police custody, waiting for a final order from Attorney General to send him for remand in the main prison, where he will receive his treatment until medical report come out. Then the case will proceed.
Makwai says the second injured person has been discharged, while the third person is still being treated at Rumbeke State Hospital. Makwai says the same soldier was involved in a separate violent attack 2 days before he detonated a grenade in the bus park.
He committed another crime at a place called Ayanpa Church, where he stabbed a person, Sergeant Major from Wounded Heroes, with a knife, and then they escaped. There were three. Later, after 2 days, he appeared in the town here after the explosion of the grenade. Then when he was evacuated with the rest of the victims all to the hospital, then later on he was identified that this is the one of the wanted person for the previous crime.
Makwai advises citizens to be cautious when dealing with unarmed people, including soldiers. He also urged the public to follow the law and seek help from the police to resolve the conflicts rather than taking the law into their hands.
It is obviously clear that when you claim something from somebody and you don't understand yourself with the person, you go to the police, you report the case to the police, and then you open your case, and then the person is apprehended and you are investigated. Then you are sent to the court.
Eyewitness Nyankot Dut says he was standing nearby when the explosion occurred. He says he believes it was by God's grace that he survived.
God is great, and I want to thank him, because the explosion occurred very close to me. I didn't know what was happening, so I heard people making noise, and I saw some running away when they saw this man rustling over the garnet.
Another eyewitness, Kwal Marial Malwal, says he too narrowly escaped death.
I would have been counted dead, but God protect me, because I did not know what they were rustling over. I thought it was just a mere fight without explosive.
Police say it is the first time such an incident has occurred in Rumbeke. William Sande Mabor, VOA News, Rumbeke, Lagos State.
From Rumbeke, we move to Geneva, where a report by the UN Food and Agriculture Organization and World Food Program warns many of the more than 117 million people suffering from acute hunger across the world are likely to die without urgent international assistance. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Those most affected by acute hunger are people living in 20 so-called hotspots. Topping the list of areas where people face catastrophic levels of acute hunger are Yemen, South Sudan, and northern Nigeria. The director of the FAO office in Geneva, Dominique Bourgeon, says multiple drivers are behind the soaring rates of acute hunger. He says those factors are interlinked and mutually reinforcing in most of the hotspots.
These multiple drivers are, first, conflict or other forms of armed violence. As a result of the economic impact of COVID-19 pandemic, we also wish to flag that the economies of numerous countries in 2021 will continue to be highly vulnerable to economic shocks.
While the majority of affected countries are in Africa, the report warns acute hunger is due to rise steeply in most regions of the world. Among those most at risk are Afghanistan in Asia, Syria and Lebanon in the Middle East, and Haiti in the Caribbean. The report finds more than 34 million people already are facing emergency levels of food insecurity, with many on the brink of famine. It notes families in pockets of South Sudan and Yemen already are in danger of starvation and death. Director of the World Food Program's office in Geneva, Annalisa Conte, says people facing famine-like conditions have depleted their assets, lost their livelihoods, do not have enough to eat, and most of their children already are acutely malnourished.
Excess death
due to hunger is taking place as we speak. You need to understand that beyond this point, there is starvation and widespread mortality. The window to avert a catastrophic situation, I would say of a biblical proportion, is closing fast.
The UN food agencies are calling on international donors to provide $5 billion in emergency food assistance to prevent 34 million people at risk of famine from starving to death. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Moudou. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's all we prepared for you this Thursday. Let us know what you think about this show. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We now leave you with some beautiful melody from Uganda. This one goes to all our Ugandan listeners across South Sudan. We have been listening to that beautiful Luganda song from Uganda. I am John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, phones, and vehicles. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
yogera ni runuta teziba mpisa tubula na yeko saidiye yangi omuntu ya merepele seta gira darambe wanu mbagara banange sere zizi chanti mai nandisi vye fensi.